Hi, my name is Brian Graves. I'm the owner of Party Pros, a local DJ company here in St. Louis, Missouri. And first off, I'd like to thank you so much for tuning in and listening to my first episode on how to book a professional mobile DJ company. So here's what we're going to cover in this episode. I'm going to give you the step-by-step instructions on how to book a professional mobile DJ company for your event. So typically the way that this works is, if it's a professional mobile DJ company, they're going to have contracts. And what they're going to do is they're going to either send them to you in the mail or via email. Now that's the way that we do it. And we found that that works out really, really well. So you'll either call the mobile DJ company on the phone or email them and, you know, say, hey, we're interested in your services. I think the best way to talk to these different companies is through the phone. This way you can talk to them, ask them questions, find out if they're a reputable company. I mean, you could tell a lot over the phone. Email, you know, a lot of people use email. I book a lot of events via email. I've done a lot of weddings where I meet with them to finalize all the details beforehand, but other than that, I never even see them. And that's fine, but I just think there's a lot more that you can get by talking to them on the phone. Please keep in mind, too, that there's been surveys, and one of the surveys that I came across was they asked the guest of the reception what the most important thing was that stood out in their mind that they remembered. And obviously, they would say, you know, number one would be the bride and groom. Number two, surprisingly, was the entertainment. And number three was the way the food tasted. Was the food good or bad? Was the DJ good or bad? If you get a bad DJ in there, it could ruin your whole night. You need a fun, professional, trained DJ. You need someone that knows what they're doing. Because the way that we handle it is, you know, obviously we sit down and meet with you. About 2 months beforehand, we finalize all the details. We have a detailed wedding planning worksheet. In the next episode, we're going to touch on explaining the whole wedding planning. So I think it's very important to have a professional DJ company that uses professional high-grade DJ equipment. You know, I've talked to some bride and grooms before and they're like, oh, well, my Uncle Charlie's a DJ. Are they really a professional DJ company? Are they using professional equipment? This is very important. There's a reason why owners of DJ companies spend tens of thousands of dollars on equipment. You want it to sound good. You just want to make sure everything's right. Talk to the mobile DJ company. Let's say you talk to them on the phone. Kind of find out how long they've been in business for. Find out what they're about. See if they're a right fit for you. The first thing that any owner of a DJ company is going to start off with is the date. They need to make sure that they have that date available. Then secondly, they're going to ask you, how many hours are you going to need us to perform for? Now, essentially what that means is most DJ companies, at least professional DJ companies that I know, would never ever charge you for setup or teardown. They never do that. The only time that they charge you is for when they're actually DJing. You got to keep in mind that we get there probably about an hour and a half to 2 hours before the event, and that's just setting everything up. Then we have another 2 hours to tear down, but we'd never charge you for that. The typical wedding reception, I would say, would go from 6 to midnight. That's a standard time for a wedding reception. One thing I will tell you too, when you're booking these times, is all DJ companies will go longer. Like, let's say you booked a reception from 5 to 11. If you talk to the banquet hall beforehand and make sure it's all right with them, obviously they're going to charge you for additional hours is what they call it. That's what the mobile DJ companies call it too. You can check with the banquet hall first. And if you've already talked to them beforehand, that's the best way to go for sure. You don't want to wait till the last minute, the night of, but let them know. We're going to book the banquet hall from 5 p.m. to 11. And there's a chance that we could go an extra hour, just depending on if everybody's having a good time. So you can come up to the DJ and also the banquet hall, tell them at 10:45, hey, we're going an extra hour. Let's do it. Everybody's dancing. Everybody's having a good time. We want to go longer. And all DJ companies will say, okay, not a problem. We'll go an extra hour for you. But the most important part of that is you need to make sure that it's okay with a banquet hall in advance, beforehand. Sometimes people are having a good time and you're dancing and you just want to go longer, and that's fine. So, okay, we covered the times and the date. Some of the things that I will ask you for my contracts, and most DJ companies would ask this, just kind of going to go through the contracts and just kind of let you know what all's in there. We will obviously ask the groom's first name, last name, also his address, and then the bride's first name, last name, and her address. And then in my contracts, I ask for the groom's phone number, a cell phone, and the bride's phone number, just in case we need to get a hold of someone. The location of the event, the first thing that bride and groom's book is obviously the reception hall. That's how they come up with the date of the event. And then, you know, I would say the second thing would be the DJ. Keep in mind, the DJ companies book out about 1 to 2 years in advance. Another thing to consider too is occasionally you may hire a DJ company to play play music for the ceremony and also the reception. Now, there's a couple different ways to do this. One would be you have the ceremony at a separate location and then have the reception at another location. So let's say you get married at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And the ceremony's at one location. Then the reception starts, let's say, about 6 o'clock. That'll give you time in between the ceremony and the reception to go get pictures. You may go to a park. You know, bride and grooms go all over. The photographers are experts when it comes to that. You go get your pictures, and then your guests would show up at the reception hall at, let's say, about 6 o'clock. I would set up a sound system for the reception. Now, please keep in mind, when you're booking the ceremony and the reception with the DJ, you need to leave them enough time to be able to tear down that sound system and then reset it back up at the reception hall. Now, I usually want to get out there to the reception hall about 2 hours before the event. So there's drive time, and then also it'll probably take me about a half hour to an hour to tear down the ceremony too. So you have to kind of keep in mind all the timing. It takes me about an hour to tear down a sound system, and then I'd also have the drive time to the reception hall, and then I would also have to set up that sound system, which usually takes, I usually try to leave myself about 2 hours before the event to set up. You don't want to be rushed setting all that stuff up. Probably only takes me about a half hour to 45 minutes to set it up, but I like having extra time. So let's say the ceremony's at noon, gets over about 1 o'clock. DJ tears down the sound system, puts it about 2. Then you want to leave about an hour to get to the reception hall, and then another 2 hours to set up for the ceremony. So be sure and leave your DJ enough time to be able to make all this happen for you when you're scheduling all that stuff. Keep in mind, too, your guests will go back to their hotel room, freshen up a bit. They may get a bite to eat, a little lunch or something, a little snack. So then the reception starts at 6. So that's one way to do it with the one sound system. Now, some other ways that I've seen it done is you would have one sound system set up in the same room. Let's say you set up the DJ in a certain corner, certain area. He does not move that sound system. Basically, they would set up all the chairs and everything for the ceremony. Then if it's in the summer where it's nice out, everybody may leave right after the ceremony, kind of go mingle, maybe head outside for a while. And then that banquet hall would transform that room into the reception. It usually takes you about 45 minutes to flip that room, I should say, from ceremony mode into reception mode. Then everybody will come back in and we'll line up the bride and groom and do a grand introduction for them. Now, more of a popular thing that I've seen is the ceremony's outside and the reception is inside. If it's no more than 50 feet, we could just move those two speakers outside. But if it's anything more than 50 feet, we're going to have to set up two sound systems. You want to have that first sound system set up for the ceremony. And then everybody's going to come inside right away, so you want to have another sound system set up, ready to go, for the reception. And you don't want a DJ company setting up and tearing down a sound system while your guests are there. You always want to make sure that the DJ company is completely set up and ready to go before the event. So yeah, that's the two sound system scenario. You know, I've had some bride and grooms that say, oh, we don't need dinner music. I totally disagree, because you don't want this DJ company coming in taking speakers. A lot of times the tables are kind of close together, bumping people with the speakers when they're bringing them in. And at that point, they really don't have a choice because there's just not enough room. You don't want them lugging in all this equipment when your guests are there. You just don't want that. Option number one would be to just have a DJ company DJ the reception only. Option number two would be to have the same DJ set up a sound system at one location for the ceremony, tear that down, and then show up and set up the same sound system at another location where the reception would be held at. So it's the same sound system. But keep in mind that DJ company is going to charge you a little extra. And obviously, it's all about time. And there's more hours that we're going to be performing involved. So I would say that I would like to have a minimum, and this doesn't include drive time, at least 3 hours to 4 hours in between the ending of the ceremony and the start time of the reception. Definitely give your DJ enough time to do that. You don't want him to be rushed for setting up the sound system for your reception. You want to make sure everything's right. Typically, it only takes me about a half hour to 45 minutes to set up my sound system, but I always get out there at least 2 hours before the reception. And then, like I said, another option would be if you have the same sound system in the same location and they flip the room. Maybe there's an area where people can do a cocktail hour to where people can hang out, and then they just shut the doors and flip the room. I was actually DJing at a winery, though, a couple weeks ago. It was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my life. They actually flipped the room right in front of everyone, and that was over at Chandler Hill Winery. What an amazing operation they got open. So they had this bar area where all the guests could mingle, and then they also had a patio. And they flipped this room right in front of everybody. I mean, they moved all the chairs out of the way, rolled in the tables, and they had this thing set up in a half hour. I was amazed. It was really, really neat. That's the first time I've ever seen that, though. Typically, you know, you may not want your guests to see that, but it was neat how they did it. But I never moved. I had my equipment set up in a corner, and I never moved a speaker or anything. I left it exactly how it was. So that's kind of your different options, you know, when you're booking a DJ company. Okay, but back to the contracts. Typically, mobile DJ companies will do one of two things. They'll charge an hourly rate, or they'll just charge a flat price. For a four-hour reception, it's X amount. Another thing, if they charge two to book the event, is a deposit. So the deposit is non-refundable. So if you cancel the event, you lose the deposit. So the way that this works is, you know, let's say you've got, you know, a four-hour event. They charge X amount. Then the deposit is deducted from the total amount due. It's not like it's added in. It's deducted from the total amount. The remaining balance after the deposit is what's due the day of the event. Now, some DJ companies may ask for it a month beforehand. Like when they sit down and meet with you and finalize all the details, what I do is I set up an appointment with my bride and groom. I meet with them 2 months before the event. We sit down and finalize everything. I don't ask for any money, though, at that meeting. I just like getting paid the night of. When I DJ the event, I like getting the check the night of. That's just kind of what we do. Some DJ companies, though, like I said, when you have that meeting, they'll ask for the remaining balance then. It just seems easier to get it the night of, though. Now, one thing that all professional DJ companies have is they have a contract with the bride and groom. This is a legal binding document. People book approximately, say, at least a year and a half in advance. Now, if you're a little bit behind, that's not a big deal. I mean, there's still openings for DJ companies, but that's typically what I see that people are booking. Now, one other thing that we should cover, too, is additional hours. If you end up going over, there's an additional fee. And that should be stated in the contract of how much they charge for additional hours. So like I was saying before, let's say your reception is from 7 to 11. And then you decide after you've already talked to the banquet hall that you want to go an extra hour later. Well, if you want to go an extra hour later, that's fine. Just come up and tell the DJ, hey, we're going an extra hour and boom. The DJ is going to DJ as long as you want him to. But keep in mind that you are getting billed for it. You're going to have to pay extra. But let's see here. In my contract, some of the information that I ask for is groom's first name, last name, his address, city, state, zip, also his phone number. And then the bride's obviously first and last name, her address, city, state, zip, and then her phone number. Typically with the phone numbers, it's just their mobile phone numbers. That's usually the easiest way to get a hold of people. We obviously want to have all that on file in case we need to talk to one of you. And the reason why I ask for both of them is if I can't get a hold of one, I can always call the other. The location of the event, typically when you book an event, obviously the first thing that you would book would be the banquet hall. Need that, the address, city, state, and zip of that. Date of the wedding, the time that you would need us to DJ, start time for the ceremony, end time for the ceremony, then also start time for the reception and end time for the reception. And that's kind of how we calculate everything in to coming up with a price. Some other things, I'm just kind of glancing through my contract here. Party Pros agrees to the following terms. Consultation service for planning the event. All professional DJ companies meet with the bride and groom about 2 months beforehand to go over all the formalities and make sure that everything's finalized so we don't have to worry about anything the day of. Coordination and management of the event. Obviously, that would mean everything that has to do with the DJ end, we're going to take care of. Master of ceremonies. Obviously, that means emceeing, taking care of everything with the ceremonies. Disc jockey and music entertainment. Now, in here it says the client agrees to the following terms. Remaining balance will be due the day of the event. Any additional hours will be billed at X amount per hour. Now, one thing that I want to let you guys know about, and all DJ companies do this, we are booking our events a year to a year and a half in advance. So in our contracts, it says basically the client agrees if they cancel within 60 days of the event, it will result in a penalty of 50% of the balance due. So long story short, if the bride and groom split up and, you know, you call us a week beforehand and say the wedding's off, well, you know, we book these events a year to a year and a half in advance. So we're going to have to charge you 50% of the balance due. Now, I did have a bride and groom that contacted me and the wedding was off. I felt horrible when she called me. Out of over the 20 years that I've been DJing, this is the first time that this has ever happened. But she called me and she said, the wedding's off. What do I owe you? And I said, I think it was like 4 months out, something like that, 6 months out. I can't remember the exact amount of months, but I said, don't worry about it. The $100 deposit is non-refundable, so we're going to keep that. But I said, you know, don't worry about it. And I really felt bad. Be careful. If you split up, you're going to owe a lot of money because this is just a DJ company. The banquet halls, all these different places do it. Photographers, everybody does it. So keep that in mind when you're signing these contracts. Another thing is the purchaser agrees to supply power close to where we will be performing. You've got to have power close to where we're going to be at. Obviously, I bring a lot of extension cords and stuff with me, but if we've got power that's 300 or 400 feet away, it's going to be really hard for us to run an extension cord all this distance. I would say almost every banquet hall, at least here in the St. Louis area, they have power right there for you. And, you know, there's a place where they normally set up the DJs. They say, hey, we usually put the DJ right here in this corner and power's right there. Another thing too is we will need a 6-foot table to put our equipment on. Now, different DJ companies do different things. Some DJ companies have their own table and they'll bring it with them because their sound system's kind of built into the table. Other DJ companies require a table. One of the things that we do is we do require a table. The one thing I ask too is to skirt that table. So have that tablecloth on it and then also skirt it. And the banquet halls have all this stuff, like a red or whatever color that you're going, skirt that table because, you know, all of our wires and everything are underneath that table and you don't want those exposed or anybody to see those. So, and the banquet halls, it's a standard thing where they set that up, but just make sure and ask them about it. And then obviously the signature. So the owner of the DJ company or the business manager would sign the contracts, mail them to you or email them to you signed. That's the way we do it at least. And then you would sign it and then mail back. The deposit for us would be a $100 deposit to book the event. Sometimes $150, just depending on the event, the circumstances, but typically it's $100, which honestly really doesn't matter either way because that's all being subtracted from the remaining balance. So, but you would sign the contracts and mail the deposit back to the mobile DJ company. Now, once I receive those contracts in the mail, the event is officially booked at that point. Also, another thing with our contracts, the way that we word them is we can only hold that date for 2 weeks. 2 weeks after we send off the contracts. There are certain dates that are really, really popular, and bride and grooms want to book them. And a lot of people wait till maybe a year. Some people may even wait till 6 months before the event. They go, oh my gosh, we need a DJ. We better book one. So they start calling and they find out that they're all booked up. So after they're calling, they find a DJ company that's available and they talk to either the business manager or the owner of the mobile DJ company. And they verbally agree on the phone that they're going to book that DJ company for their event. So then that person with that DJ company will mail off the contracts via email or will send them through the United States Postal Service to your address. Now, when you get those contracts, the way that mine are stated is you have 2 weeks to sign the contracts and mail it back with a deposit. Because the thing is, the mobile DJ companies can't hold that date much more than that because there are certain dates that are very, very popular. Keep in mind that most weddings are on a Saturday. There's only 52 Saturdays in a year. And there's a certain peak season of weddings that usually spans about 4 or 5 months. So you could almost cut that in half. So if you cut that in half, you're only looking at maybe 25 days in the whole year. So when you kind of break down those numbers, you can understand that that's why DJ companies book so far in advance. So there are certain dates that are really, really, really popular. And you definitely want to get those contracts in because it's not officially booked until the contract's signed. So I guess what I'm trying to say is if you get a contract, you don't want to sit on it for a couple months and then, you know, sign it and mail it to the DJ company because there's a good possibility that that date may already be taken by then. If you verbally commit on the phone that you're going to book them, get it done. Because you just don't want to lose out. Especially if you're talking to a DJ company and you really, really, really want to book them. And then come to find out later, they're not available. So as soon as they mail you the contract, get it done, sign it, mail in the deposit, and guess what? You'll have your DJ company booked. I'll tell you what, it's really neat after I talk to the bride and grooms. And, you know, after I receive the contracts, I always contact them. I let them know that we've received the deposit. We've got the contracts and, you know, we're really excited about DJing their event. And you can just hear in their voice, you know, just it's like a breath of fresh air. They're just like, wow. That part is taken care of. They're excited because they can move forward and, you know, book the photographer or whatever the next project is that they have for their wedding reception or ceremony or both. I think I pretty much covered everything. Thank you so much for listening to episode 1, How to Book a Mobile DJ Company. Once again, my name is Brian Graves. I'm the owner and operator of Party Pros. And I would like to thank you so much for taking time out to listen to our first episode on how to book a mobile DJ company. I really hope that this helps you along in the whole process of booking a DJ for your wedding reception. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please feel free to email me at bgraves@partyprostogo.com or feel free to text me. You can also call me at 314-303-9635. Once again, thank you so much for listening. look forward to talking to you soon, and hope to see you for the next episode. We're going to be working on that shortly. I would say probably within the next week or two. I'm going to have another episode that we're going to put it up on Facebook like we did with this one. We're also going to put it up on the website. So be sure and look for the next episode. Should be coming out, I would say, a couple weeks after, you know, we post this one here. So thank you so much for listening again, and have a great day.